Welcome to The Art Scene, presented each week by UALR's College of Arts, Humanities and Social Sciences and UALR Public Radio. In the Arkansas River Rhapsodies 2011-12 season, I was joined in an interview with Beth Wheeler, principal English horn player in the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and on the phone from California, composer John Steinmetz. Beth, with oboists Lorraine Duzo-Kitts and Liana Bowes, are the DDG Woodwind Trio, and they had commissioned a work for them from John, which was discussed on that interview. It was given its world premiere a few days later on the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra's chamber music series, River Rhapsodies. The trio is going to California shortly to the International Double Reed Society Conference in Los Angeles. And two members of the trio, Beth Wheeler, English horn, and oboist Lorraine Duzo-Kitts, tell us the story behind the trip. Here's Lorraine.
So as members, we all are able to send in proposals of pieces that we would like to play. So I've played in about three of them. One of them was a trio that I played with Carolyn Brown and Kelly Johnson. And we went to Kansas City, and that was the flute conference. And then we also did it in Greensboro.
So it does change from year to year.
Yes. This year it's in Los Angeles.
And is it by invitation once you've submitted your proposal?
Yes. There are two judges, the host, and I think the president of the IDRS. I could be wrong, but they all look at all the proposals, thousands of proposals, and they look at what would match the conference. And then we find out after the first of the year if we were accepted or not. So.
Now, your proposal was?
Our proposal was to perform John Steinmetz's piece, Common Ground, which we commissioned from John back in 2011. And we think that that was actually our in to the offer to us to be part of the conference because, as Lorraine said, the conference is in L.A. or in Redlands, actually, a little bit outside of L.A. And John is from L.A. And we heard that they wanted to feature music from Los Angeles composers. We thought if we couldn't get in with this, that we might as well hang it up.
No, I think you had the golden charm. I mean, it's a fairly recent piece done especially for you.
Exactly.
And got the perfect connections, I think.
Well, and it was fun for us because we formed the group in 2010, I think, is when the trio came together and started performing. And one of our early conversations I remember very well. We talked about the repertoire available for our instruments, and it's not that there's no repertoire out there. There's some great repertoire out there, but there's not a lot of it. We're not like the string quartet yet. and we talked about how much fun it would be to commission a piece, and then we said, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be great if we could go to IDRS and play a piece out there that was written for us? And everything just really came together.
Just perfect. Yep. And so I was just thinking the connection with John, and he was so delightful when we had him on the phone that time we did the interview before you played his piece. And we were sort of saying what fun it would be that because there's so little in the repertoire, that something written especially for this combination by a composer with as much renown and appreciation of what he does and how he does it was just going to be sort of the whole thing would enrich everything else, the three of you and the repertoire as a whole, the combination between you and with John. And in fact, we even sort of talked about other things that possibly might come out of this. And I was wondering of those ideas that may be simmering in your minds of him and some of his cohorts, you know, the other people who would see this happen might be intrigued and think what they'd like to do with a similar combination, and possibly you would get offers that who knows where they'll go.
Well, the piece is being published. Our piece, Common Ground, is being published, and so it will be available for the first time for sale at the IDRS convention. So that's kind of nice. And since we commissioned John's piece, we've commissioned two other pieces. Bob Borey, as you know, had already written a beautiful piece for us that we play every chance we get. We also commissioned a piece from a friend of Lorraine's, Matt Quayle, and from one of Lorraine's students, Andy Esta. They've both written pieces for us that we've performed several times now. So we've enjoyed that a lot, creating new music and new opportunities. And it's not just opportunities for us, also for the composers. The more we perform their music, the more it's heard, the more their name gets out there, and it just all connects.
Now, Karen Griebling does a lot of recording of the works that she and the Crosstown Trio play. Have you already done things like that yourselves, or are you not into the recording area right now?
That's our next step. It's amazing. You know, we started in 2010, and it's amazing how we grow and we find a certain path that we take. And this path that we're taking right now is American composers. So we're gathering more and more material and asking more composers to write for us. And then we want to record pieces by American composers. So that's kind of like our goal now. We started as a trio, you know, getting together and having a good time, and then deciding to perform and getting more and more serious. And after this conference, we want to record.
Well, I was also thinking as you're talking, and I remembered we brought this up in the conversation with John, that for a trio of this quality with these instruments that are so distinctive, you need something else with it as well. And somebody suggested that he should write a concerto with the three of you as the solo instruments. And I still think that would be wonderful to hear that concentration of the double reed instruments in solo form, as you might say, with the background of a string orchestra or something. Again, not with a full orchestra because...
Volume.
Volume, yes. But also because of the balance. Mm-hmm. I think strings are marvelous to have behind any kind of instrument. You've only to see how much other composers have done with string orchestras. And given some of these concerts that Philip is planning, the Ink concerts, this is the sort of thing that he'll probably be mining for pieces that aren't heard very often.
I love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fantastic idea. Thank you, Anne.
Well, that's another thing on our agenda. Of course, we always have a list of things to do, but I would like to write a grant for my university and do such a project where it's a trio behind a wind ensemble or a string ensemble. So that's in the making too.
Yes, I mean, why not? Uh-huh. You're talking a language that a lot of people to respond to, mm-hmm. and there are plenty of opportunities to experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I love that idea.
Yeah. And you definitely have to use a small ensemble for like our trio. Yeah. You know, so that.
Although I'm thinking about the Jennifer Higdon Concerto for Orchestra that we got to play this year, and there's one movement which features each of the different sections of the orchestra, and so there's a section for the oboes, and it's all oboes, it's three oboes, no English horns, and it's being accompanied by muted trombones, and it is such a wonderful sound. It's just great. So I think there are all kinds of things that could be done.
Yeah. And with the composers that have been here, like Jennifer Higdon, who seemed so tickled with everything that was going on and whom she met and what ideas might be springing in her mind for that. Mm-hmm. And particularly with the symphony here that has such a fine selection of solo instrumentalists that need to be exposed to the rest of the country, if not the world. So the sooner you start recording, the better.
Yes,
because that's
very
the
excited.
Way it gets out. Yes. Oh my goodness. So anyway, the format of the conference. You get there. Is it a 3-day conference? 2-day? How many?
I think it's 4. Is that right?
Ooh, you'll be exhausted.
Okay, so this is my. Well, we're just going. We're going to fly out on Wednesday and perform on Thursday and come home on Friday.
Oh, so you won't be staying for the whole 4 days.
No.
Which is sort of a pity in a way that you can't sort of go and rub shoulders and sort of get to know people in the field and Just yes. have fun.
It's huge. We're talking like 2,000 yeah. people. 2,000 bound to be double reed players.
And they're bound to be kindred spirits that suddenly you click with in a way that you hadn't expected. And you'll see John, presumably.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. John is going to be part of our performance. He's going to talk about the piece before we play it. And we'll definitely find some time to spend with John and just catch up and talk about the piece and talk about plans. And so we're really looking forward to seeing him again.
You'll have to get together with Linda Holzer and make a point of bringing him back here so I can get a chance to meet him finally.
Another great idea.
So what apart from that piece then, will you get a chance to play anything else?
Not at IDRS.
Okay.
They actually encourage people to limit the size of their proposals in terms of the number of pieces they want to play so that I assume so they can give as many people as possible a chance to play. So it will just be John's piece that we're playing. Yeah.
Do you know yet when in the day that you'll be there, exactly the time and place?
Yes, at 3 p.m., I think. Is that right? And we'll be performing in the Black Box Theater University of Redlands.
Oh, okay. And is that acoustically designed for orchestral instruments, or is it just a play space?
I'm thinking it's meant just as a theatrical, bare-bones type of theater. I don't know what the acoustics are like. I would expect it to be rather dry and not terribly reverberant, but we'll find out when we get there. Such a quick trip. Lorraine will be flying to L.A. from Maine mm-hmm. because she'll be teaching at the Maine Summer Music Camp, where she spends her summers, and Leanna will be flying from Missouri. She'll be there doing the Missouri Symphony, which is a summer orchestra that she plays in every year.
And then what do you do in the summer?
I work. I work at UAMS.
Yes, yeah. I know that's one of the numbers that I think I have for you.
Yes.
Now, I was trying to remember also, didn't we do an interview some years ago when you were getting ready to go?
When the quintet was going to England, maybe?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, Etesian Winds, we did. We went to England in 2005, I think.
So what's happened to that quintet?
We still play together sometimes, not as often as we did. People just got pulled in different directions mm-hmm. and started getting busy doing other things, so we just haven't had as many opportunities. Although we have played on River Rhapsodies the past 2 years, and it's been great to get back together.
Right.
So I'm hopeful we can continue to work as a quintet and maybe increase the frequency of our performances.
Well, from what you've just said, free time, if it's at all available, one would think would come in the summer. But if you're all flying off into different directions, it's not easy to get together.
It's always a challenge.
I think, and that's the reason why we were able to come up or ask John Steinmetz to write this piece is because of their quintet. He wrote a quintet. Beth really liked his composition, so we were able to have him write a trio for us, and that was nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard about John from his wind quintet that Lorraine just mentioned, and I heard that piece because it was recorded by the Borealis Quintet, who's been to Little Rock several times. The oboist in that quintet is Tamar Beach Wells, who I went to college with, undergraduate and graduate school. And I keep up with Tamar personally, but I also keep up with the quintet through their CDs, and heard this piece and just absolutely loved it. It was just so special. It was so unusual and so different from anything that I was accustomed to hearing. So when the trio decided that we wanted to commission a composer, we said, well, let's each develop our short lists of folks that we might be interested in speaking to. And my list was very short. It was John. That was it. And so that worked out.
Yes, it has. Well, on to greater glory. I mean, you're going to have quite an audience. I mean, Black Boxes aren't all that very big, so it may be a very specialized group that'll be there, but it'll be on the program, and mm-hmm. I think it will be very interesting to find out what story you'll come back with.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit intimidating because we know that the group that we'll be playing for are all oboe players or all double reed players. There mm-hmm. might be some bassoonists there as well. So we'll do our best.
That was Beth Wheeler, principal English horn player with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and oboist Lorraine Duzo-Kitts, members of the DDG Woodwind Trio. The third member, Leanna Bose, will join them in California for the annual International Double Reed Society 2013 conference, which runs June 26th through 29th in Los Angeles, where they will play Common Ground, the Steinmetz piece written specially for them. Listeners will remember last month's Art Spree concert, Chris Brubeck's Triple Play, which closed the 2013 Art Spree series. Chris was my guest, and at one point talked about the gift of improvisation. He went on to describe a session which included his father, resulting in a recording of what turned out to be Dave Brubeck's last concert. I saved the story and present it now, with the final track from that recording, as Chris Brubeck explains here how it all came about.
Stravinsky has a great quote, "Composition is selective improvisation." It's a very short quote, but it says, well, for your listeners, I mean, he's saying that the spark that you have to have a creative thought, if you're a jazz musician, you have it, you play it, it's gone. If you're a classical musician, you have it, you hear it, and you say, I think that's worth writing down and keeping, and then you work with it. You know, so you're selecting that improvisation, and now once you start shaping it and extending and extrapolating and harmonizing it and doing all the things that you can do to it, then it's now you're in the world of composition. It's also quite interesting. I want to mention that the last recording that my father ever made, as it turns out, was Triple Play was hired to play a concert at the Saratoga Music Festival. And we were playing in a beautiful hall, Arthur Zankel Music Center. And it's the same Zankel family that loves the arts that built the recital hall beneath Carnegie Hall. So it was a beautiful hall. We were playing our concert, and then the people doing the concert said to me, he said, "Is there any chance you could get your father to come and sit in with you?" And, you know, my dad, I think, was 90 at the time, and I didn't think the odds were high, but I asked him, and to my surprise, he said, "Well, that sounds like fun." So when we had him come up, we discovered that this new hall was so state-of-the-art that they had Pro Tools recording equipment built in to the hall. So it was quite inexpensive just to roll. In the old days, we say roll the tape. I guess now it's spin the hard drive because it's computer recording to hard drive. And I didn't tell my father because even at his age, he is capable of getting nervous thinking about his recording. And I said, "Boy, it'd be really fun. We'll just record this. I won't say anything to him. He won't be nervous. And we'll just see what happens." And it was one of those nights that when we were through playing, the audience went crazy. He played great and so inventively and with so much wisdom. And everyone was saying, "Oh, my God, I wish that was recorded because it would make a great record." And as a matter of fact, after I heard some rough mixes and I played it for my dad and said, because he had even said the same thing to me. He's like, "God, I wish we had recorded it." I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, we did record it." So the long and the short of it is that became our latest recording. And not only is Dave on there as our guest as a pianist, but Joel Brown, our guitar player, has a father that is an accomplished jazz clarinet player. And he, I think, was 86 at the time, and he played with us too. So the audience went crazy for him and for our group and for Dave. And it just turned out to be a great recording. It's gotten terrific reviews and totally captures that feeling of spontaneity and everyone listening to each other and everyone exploring musically and all the music going in a million different directions. One of the tunes we did was St. Louis Blues, and Dave's takes about 15 choruses, and it's like a history of music. Every chorus goes in a different direction, and it's quite amazing how you can't believe how he got from point A to point B, but somehow he did it.
Thank you.
in another town.
Oh,
Dave Brubeck and St. Louis Blues with Chris Brubeck's Triple Play. Chris Brubeck writes, "It was an incredible night with a terrific audience that inspired us all. Recorded live at Arthur Zankel Music Center, Skidmore Hall, Saratoga Springs, New York, June the 10th, 2011. Part of the Saratoga Springs Arts Festival." And that concludes this week's program. Please join us next weekend at the same time. I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UALR's College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences and UALR Public Radio.